Good morning. It is great to be here with you. Great to see you. We have a lot of guests in our audience today, and we're delighted that you're here, and we hope that you'll want to come back and be a part of our group anytime that you can. We have about 150 of us not here this morning. I left last night to come home to be able to speak this morning, and we have a large group, a very good group of folks at Lads to Leaders. We have a lot of young people. We have a lot of leaders in the program. We have a lot going on up there, and this morning they worshiped with about 5,000 people. That will be a great assembly there. And we're thankful for that, and we're thankful that you are here and ready to worship and lift up God's high and holy name. We're so thankful to have that opportunity to do that with you. The theme of the Lads to Leaders Convention is one, and I had the privilege of judging speeches yesterday, and I heard a number of speeches, and those young men were creative as they looked at one. Oneness of the kingdom of God, oneness of so many things that God wants to be together. And as we look at our religious world today, many would look at it and say that we are hopelessly divided. Well, the hope is in Jesus Christ. And as we look to what the text of the Bible says about being one, about the oneness that God desires for us, there's a lot to be said. One of the passages that focuses on that in a great way is Ephesians chapter 4. And if you start at verse 1, there's some really great information there. And as we begin this morning, I would start there. Perhaps I don't have a PowerPoint this morning. I thought I put that on Dropbox, but there we go. I'm looking back there. Guess what? We don't even have a projector back there. No wonder I didn't see that. We do have it. Got to think. Anyway, if you look at these few verses, first three verses of Ephesians 4, you're going to see Paul inviting the Ephesians to live a life that is worthy of their calling, and he's asking them to do that in unity as one. One of the most impressive ceremonies I ever saw in my life was John's graduation, my son's graduation from boot camp in the Marines. At Parris Island, when they graduated, there were hundreds of men and women, and there was a person calling out orders, and those people would move. You couldn't see a bobble. Hundreds of them would do a left face at once or a right face at once. And it was truly one unit. And that's what they worked for. And when I said, John, I can't believe that was so great how they moved just like it was one person. He looked at me and at asphalt area that they were on. He said, Dad, they don't call that place out there the grinder for nothing. When we start thinking about all the work that was put into that, God expects the same kind of work to be put into the unity that he wants for the kingdom of God. And when you begin looking at the qualities that are listed here in these first three verses that we must have, if we're going to be unified, we're going to see that we will have to be on that spiritual grinder working all the time to stay unified and to be who we need to be as God's people. We start with lowliness, humility. That is a quality that's very difficult for some of us. It's so hard to let others have first place, to let others lead and guide and direct when we think we are right, when we think we have the way. And so we need lowliness and humility. We need gentleness, and the word there is also translated meekness. And it's not just a giving in, no matter what, to have peace. Meekness is strength, but it's strength under control. And so we gently guide and direct as we have the opportunity to do so. And then we bear with one another in love. We have to put up with each other. We say that jokingly sometimes, and we say it not jokingly sometimes. But the reality is, whether we're teasing or we're not teasing, we need to bear with one another. And this concept of bearing is work. It's not something that is so easy and pleasurable that there's no problem at all in it. It's hard work, bearing up under the pressure of loving each other every day in every way. And then keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Spirit of God that gives us life, the Spirit of God that helps us mold and make our lives in the way that it should be, is giving us a way by which we can be one. And so as we start to look at the ones that God leads us to by inspiration, we need these qualities if we're going to be successful. There is one body, God says, and this one body is the unity of organization. How are we organized? God gives us a very simple illustration. We are organized in the same way the human body is. We function in a general way the same way the human body does. It is about relationship, and it is a unique relationship and a unique purpose. Our hand has a relationship with the rest of our body. Our feet have a relationship with the rest of our body. And we need to understand this concept as we look at how God wants His body organized. In Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, we recognize that this body and the church are one in the same. Paul said, "And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." And then in Ephesians 2:16, Paul said that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. There was a lot of struggle and a lot of problems between Jewish people and Gentile people. And God has broken down that wall that separated them so that everybody might become one in Christ Jesus. And so one body is the unity of organization. And then God says there is one Spirit. It is amazing to me that we look at the religious world today, the Christian religious world, and we see how divided we are. We have people over here saying you can do this and be okay. You can do that over here and be okay. You can do this. And they're all different and sometimes even directly conflict. God gave us one Spirit to unify the revelation that we have so that we know how to be one. This Spirit that unifies us gives everyone who is reaching for life and who listens to God, He gives life, guides and directs us as we have the inspired Word of God that the Spirit has guided us to. In John 16 and verse 13, Jesus said, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you unto all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." When we put together this body, become a part of this body. We don't put it together. When we become a part of this body, we listen to what the Spirit says, and that Spirit is going to guide us into what truth is. And we need to be thankful for God's plan for unity of revelation with one Spirit. And then there is one hope. And this one hope is the unity of our aim. What are we looking for? What do we hope to achieve? What is going to be the end result of our spiritual life? That unity, that aim, that hope is based in the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. There are many people today, especially today, who are thinking about the resurrection of Christ, and we need to be thinking about it regularly, daily. Today's a great day to be thinking about the resurrection of Christ, but every day is a great day. And so as we think about this one hope, Peter said in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, And that does not fade away and is reserved in heaven for you. God has placed out there a great hope, a life far superior to this life, far better than this life, a life without the struggles and difficulties and problems and pain and sickness and death that we experience in this life. We have hope beyond this life. What a great blessing that God's plan for us to have that one hope and unify us in the aim that we have together. And then God gives us the message of one Lord. This is so amazing to me that we have such difficulty with this in the religious world. It seems to me that many problems that we experience in division could be solved if we would give in to the one Lord, and that is our unity of authority. This Lord was both man and God. He came into the world to seek and to save the lost. He came into the world to suffer and shed his blood and die on the cross that you and I might have the opportunity for salvation. We have one authority. In 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 6, Paul said, "Yet for us there is only one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through him we live." And then in Philippians chapter 2, in this great passage that we have here before us, Paul says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That's how great this Lord is. Every knee should bow and will one day bow. Every tongue should confess and will one day confess that Jesus is indeed the King of Kings, but he is the Lord of Lords. In fact, when Jesus walked in this world, he saw people referring to God, which would be referring to him. And he said, "Why do you call me Lord and do not the things which I say?" It doesn't make sense to read the message of the Lord. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to come and guide you unto all truth. And he's not going to be speaking things from himself, but he's going to be speaking the things that he has heard. Jesus said that the words that he has spoken, the same will judge us in that day. Doesn't it make sense for us to think about Jesus as the one Lord and listen to him? And then we have one faith. One faith. This is the unity of doctrine, the unity of teaching. What do we teach? When we want to know what do we do to be saved, when we want to know what we ought to do with regard to telling the truth or a lie, when we want to know how we are to worship, when we are to worship, what particular things will we do to honor and worship God, how do we know what to do? God has given us one faith. In Jude, verse 3, Jude records, "Beloved, while I was diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation," that's what I wanted to write to you about, "I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting to you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints." We have this message, this body of teaching that was delivered to the saints. And Jude found it necessary to write to those first century Christians about that faith and what they need to be doing and how they need to think about the teaching of God. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, in thinking about the unity that God has demanded, he says, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." We have one faith that unifies us together. One body of information from which we teach, from which we live that organizes us into this great body, the church that God would have us to be a part of. And then God teaches us in this passage that there is one baptism. When we start thinking about baptism, God has given us a unity of practice in how we come to Him, how we submit ourselves to Him. It is a spiritual birth in water. It brings the forgiveness of sins, and it provides sonship for all who obey. When we begin to look at the passages, we could begin with what we call the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And as we continue to think further about the Spirit's message that was given to us by revelation regarding baptism, those people that heard for the first time the gospel message and were given the opportunity to overcome the fact that they had murdered God's Son, to become a part of the kingdom, the body, the church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when they had cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter responded to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Those people on Pentecost, when they cried out, "What shall we do?" they were told to be baptized as they repent of their sins. And as we look further in Acts 22 and verse 16, in the story of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, when Saul was told by the Lord, "You go into Damascus and it will be told you what you must do. What practice must you undertake?" In Acts 22 and verse 16, when Ananias came to Saul, he said, "Saul, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." There's unity of practice. And when you look at each case of conversion that we read in the book of Acts, you're going to see this unity of practice in that people that came to the Lord were baptized. They were buried in water to become a part of the family of God. The reason for that, we can look at passages like 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. There is also now an antitype which now saves us, namely baptism. And if you continue to read, it will say it is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we think about baptism and we look at the teaching, the doctrine that unifies us in this one practice, Paul's record in chapter 6 of the book of Romans, beginning in verse 3, when he raises the question, "Do you not know that all of you who were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism, so that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might also be raised to walk in newness of life." There's one practice the Bible teaches us as we look for God to unify us in this one faith and in this one practice. Those who want to come to the Lord will submit themselves to the Lord in obedience to His will, repenting of sins, confessing His great name, and being buried with Him in water. The unity of practice that the Bible teaches us. And then we're told that there is one God and Father. We come together today to worship this one God, this one Father. And this God loves all men. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. God loved the world so much that He would give His only begotten Son. In fairness to all, it doesn't matter what sins have been committed. It doesn't matter how far away from God one is or feels. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance and remission of sins are to be preached in His name throughout the entire world. God doesn't want anyone to be left out. This Great Commission, we go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we teach them to observe whatever God has commanded. God loves all men, and He would have all men to come before Him. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. That principle hasn't changed. God is the God of Henderson, Tennessee, of Nashville, Tennessee, of America across the board, of any nation that you want to mention this morning. God is the God of all and seeks all to come to Him in unity through listening to what God has to say about unity. In Isaiah 43 and verse 10, Isaiah records these words, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, or shall there be any after." Unity, one. And as we look, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father above all, we need to be unified. We need to be one. That's what our young people have been studying all weekend at Lads to Leaders. It's what we need to be thinking about. We need to keep this message before us, and we need to teach it to the entire world. And as we conclude our message this morning, it is God's plan to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That means that it is God's plan for all of us to look at the message of God, to heed the word of the Spirit, to know this message of faith, to heed this practice that God has given to us, and respond in loving obedience to His will. God's description of unity in Ephesians 4 seems to make sense in every way until we come to religion. There is no business that's going to operate worldwide that will have six or seven different heads, that will have different conferences to decide what this part is going to do and that part's going to do. It doesn't make any sense in any place but religion. And it seems like in the religious world, we look at life as though we can be unified in just saying, you be religious. You choose the church of your choice. I'll choose the church of mine. You do what you want. I'll do what I want. But God's message is very clear. He desires unity, but it must be on God's terms. This morning, as is our very special privilege to offer the Lord's invitation, we choose a song that we will sing. I believe it's Nothing But the Blood this morning. What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We need to come to the blood of Jesus by choosing to repent of our sins and be buried with Christ in baptism. Perhaps there's a child of God in this room who has started thinking more along the ways of the world than the ways of God. And you need to respond this morning. God desires that we all be one. If we did God's will this morning, there would not be a person who would leave who has not been born into the family of God, ready to receive the blessings that God offers to us eternally. If you are in need of a public response to encourage God in the way that God wants to be encouraged by your love and your obedience, please come. Let us stand and let us sing.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Would you please be seated?
Well, we appreciate your presence this morning. We really appreciate visitors being with us and hope that you can come back tonight and be with us at 5 o'clock. The following announcements have been given to me this morning. Johanna Seri will have surgery April the 20th at Vanderbilt Hospital. We extend sympathy to Bobby Newman in the death of her niece-in-law, Fareen Galbraith. Sympathy is also extended to Sarah Thornberry since the death of her great-grandmother, Juanita Wall. The Pew Packers will meet this afternoon at 4:40 in front of the auditorium. Visitation Team 2 will meet at 6 p.m. at the home of Ken and Lynn Goldson. Next Sunday, April 12th, we will have a finger food fellowship at 6 p.m. to recognize our Lads to Leaders participants. Everyone is invited to attend. Be sure and be with us at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and please stand now and for the final song and prayer. And read your worship bulletin, because there's a lot more information in the worship bulletin. Thank you.
Number 26. Here I labor and toil as I look for a home, just an humble abode among men. While in heaven a mansion is waiting for me, and a gentle voice pleading, come in. There's a mansion now empty, just waiting for me. At the end of life's troublesome way, many friends and dear loved ones will welcome me there, near the door of that mansion someday.
Let's pray. Dear and Father, we come for you now, giving you thanks for another day that you've given us breath that we can come together and worship and study a portion of your word. Dear and Father, we ask that you be with those that were mentioned that have lost loved ones, those that are sick, that are needing our prayers. We ask that you go with us through the rest of this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.